This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. There are 20 million shipping containers now in the world, carried by 6,000 container vessels, all moving literal tons of stuff back and forth over the ocean. And it all started in 1956 when a trucker by the name of Malcolm McLean had an amazingly good idea. What if there was a container that could come off a ship full of goods and attach to a truck or a train? McLean believed the shipping container could revolutionize the way goods moved around the world.
Malcolm McLean became a very, very wealthy man. Because, of course, the shipping container did revolutionize the way goods move.
That's reporter Nicola Twilley.
New, deeper ports were built for new, deeper ships carrying more products. A cargo vessel in the late 1960s needed a crew of 50. A container ship five times the size needed just 18 people. Meanwhile, on shore, roughly three-quarters of the hundreds of thousands of dock workers who were needed to move goods on and off ships ended up losing their jobs. It only took one guy to operate the crane that lifted these big boxes.
McLean's idea had created an incredibly more efficient global shipping industry. But there was still one major problem. The shipping container worked well for dry cargo, like paper and cans and plastics. But perishable products were transported the same way they had been for decades, as bulk cargo in the hold of specially designed refrigerated ships.
And in these refrigerated boats, the one giant cargo space could only be kept at one temperature. And the thing is that different products need different temperatures. Bananas need to be at a higher temperature than apples, and apples need to be kept warmer than, say, frozen meat. So most ships were limited to carrying one thing at a time. The result of sending massive amounts of produce in one ship like this was that when a ship arrived in port, it flooded the area with thousands of pounds of a single commodity. However, by the 1970s, the container industry had started to build refrigerated containers, which, it is my great pleasure to tell you, are referred to within the industry as reefers.
Dude.
I know. But the reefers they had designed weren't working very well. Food would show up at the destination rotten or moldy, and no one understood why. The container industry had a reefer problem, and they needed help.
My name is Barbara Pratt.
Reefers, meet your master.
I'm the director of reefer services for Maersk Line today.
But back in the 1970s, Barbara was about to graduate from Cornell with a degree in physics. She'd been planning to go to grad school, but she agreed to defer for a year or two to work alongside her professor and a team of researchers on a project for General Foods. Their mission was to understand what was going wrong with all these shipments.
Basically, the whole industry was blind to what was happening in transit. They would place 30 to 40,000 pounds worth of produce into a container, put it on a ship, and then see whatever happened at destination.
It was like, now behind door number one, will the peaches be rotten or underripe?
Barbara and her team decided the only way to see what was happening to the produce inside the containers was to follow the containers from farm to truck to train to ship.
They'd need a lab, but it would have to be a mobile lab, one that could move with the shipments.
And so, of course, Barbara's research team would build their lab in a shipping container. It's really the only thing that made sense.
Whether it was in the various terminals, in the fields, or even on board the ship, to then connect up to the other refrigerated containers that were moving on the ship to monitor what was going on inside the transit.
And that's how, at 22 years old, Barbara began traveling the world, working and sometimes sleeping in a 40-foot shipping container.
At the heart of Barbara's mobile research lab was a computer.
Attached to the lab computer were 150 sensors connected to all the other adjacent containers by long, gray, salt-resistant wires. These wires were sending back all kinds of information about what was happening in the containers: temperature, humidity levels, airflow, concentrations of different atmospheric gases. For the next 7 years, Barb traveled back and forth across the globe with the shipping container lab. Based on their findings, the standard ventilation system of a standard reefer unit was completely redesigned. Their research also influenced the ways that growers would dry, prepare, and pack their products to be shipped, all to ensure that fruits and veggies could last 2 weeks on the ocean inside of a refrigerated tin can.
99% Invisible was produced this week by Nicola Twilley, Avery Truffleman, Sam Greenspan, Katie Mingle, Kurt Kohlstedt, and me, Roman Mars. Radio edit by Ted Muldoon. We are a project of 91.7 KALW and distributed by PRX. More at 99pi.org.